Yes, I can sense the anointing that is here. Every time I get on this stage or behind this pulpit, you're definitely aware of a presence of God. You're aware of a spirit that is not of this world. Amen. Praise God. And we're not of this world. Amen. And I want to minister tonight on what are you aware of? What are you aware of? John chapter 3, verse 5, Nicodemus had come to Jesus, and Jesus told him, you have to be born again. And you know the story about Nicodemus said, what, can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? Come on, I'm a grown man. That didn't make any sense in the natural, but of course he wasn't talking about physically. But in John 3, 5, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, God, right now that you let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. God, we just thank you for a spiritual awareness. God, many that will be born again, maybe never before, having been spiritually aware, will come to an awareness tonight. And Lord, those that have been walking in darkness, God, that the light of God will shine in their life and that their eyes will be enlightened, God, to understand and to receive and conceive what it is that you have for them tonight. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we have two births that should take place in our lives. We have two births. We have two lives. We have two realms that we are living in as Christians. We're living in the physical realm, those that are born of water, born of the flesh. And then we have the spiritual realm, those that are born again, born of the Spirit. And I trust that you are, as we gave an opportunity to receive Christ, that you are born again and you have Jesus in you and you are born again spiritually speaking. But it's important to realize that you are not your body. Your body is just a shell. It's like a temple. Your body is like a building. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? I think it's interesting how man has developed and built buildings and things, even this sanctuary, that is very much like our physical bodies, in that there's a thermostat that controls the temperature. And your temperature, it won't get too hot or too cold because of that thermostat that regulates this building. In the same way, your body has a temperature regulator. You won't get too hot, too cold. If it gets too hot, your spirit has to vacate. You leave your body. And so there are things that we have physically inside of us that are very similar to buildings that we see in the natural. But it's important to focus on the spiritual things in life. So that although we are in a body and we're experiencing this natural world, it's important not to focus on the things of life or the cares of this world, because they'll overtake you if you're not careful. And so I want to ask you, what are you aware of? A lot of people, I would ask them that question tonight. Hey, what are you aware of? Some of you might say, I'm aware that it's cold. I'm aware that it's kind of dark. I can't see real well in here. Somebody might say, oh, I'm aware that those lights are real bright. I'm aware that my foot's hurting. You know, whatever it is you're aware of, many times you're aware of the physical things in life. And sometimes people tell you things that you're already aware of. Have you ever had that happen? Or maybe somebody tells you something, you're aware of that. I was driving a van one time. I had a 1964 Ford hippie van. I was talking to Peter before the service about cars, some of the bad cars I've driven. As Pastor says, sometimes you have to have bad car before you can appreciate good car. And I had a 1964 Ford hippie van. I was on my way to prayer. We used to have 542 prayer back in the early 90s. And I was on my way here to prayer, actually the old building. As I was driving, all of a sudden, I thought I had smelled something. It smelled like fuel. And I thought, well, it always smells like that, so it's no big deal. My car always smells like gas. And I'm driving this 64 Ford hippie van, top speed, 50 miles an hour. Early morning, nobody's around, not anyone in sight, 542 down Hewlin Street, living with the Kings. At that time, the King family had took me in, thank God. So I was leaving their house on my way up here on Hewlin Street, and all of a sudden, in the reflection of the windshield, I see fire coming up. And I look over, and the engine in one of those things is right there beside you, and flames are just coming up out of that engine cover right next to me, right? Well, I didn't know it. I had been on fire for some time. I was not aware. But the guy behind me was very aware that my van was leaving a trail of fire behind. And so I pull over as fast as I could and jumped out. And this guy pulls up right next to me, and he is already on his cell phone. He had one of those old flip phones, and he said, "Your van is on fire." And I said, "Yes, sir, I am aware." I just figured that out. Although I had been driving, he had been behind me and was already called the fire department saying, "Hey, there's this van driving down the street on fire." And so fortunately, where I stopped was right next to the fire department. And the doors open up, and here comes the fire department and put out my fire, which I was thankful for. And there are things in the spirit, too. Sometimes you need to realize there's a fire. And the question is, are you on fire or not? You may realize it, you may not realize it, but the fire of God is here. It was a couple weeks after that, we were on our winter retreat. It wasn't long, just a week or two. We were on our annual winter retreat up to Colorado. And the bus that we took, real nice, 55-passenger van, Mercedes bus with the screens and everything, brand new. And we're driving that thing to Colorado. We have an experienced mountain driver. Well, on the way there, in Childress, we stopped at a stoplight, and all of a sudden we heard a big boom. And I thought we got hit or something, because the whole thing kind of shook a little bit. And so people started jumping off of that bus, and fire was coming out of the sides of that bus because we'd been driving with the brakes on from here till Childress. Yeah. So that heat got so hot that it literally melted those tires and they exploded and then ignited when we stopped in Childress and started burning the sides of the bus. Well, David King, he was in the bathroom at that time. And he was not aware that the bus was on fire. And somebody was banging on the door saying, "The bus is on fire," to the bathroom. And he thought, "Oh, they're playing a joke on me." Am I telling the truth? Am I lying? I have a witness. And 53 other witnesses. They said, "The bus is on fire." Well, he didn't believe them until he started to see the glow of the flames out of the window there beside the bus. And so he got off that bus. But you've got to be aware of the fire of God. And there are a lot of people that the fire is all around them, but they're not aware of it because they're so focused on the natural. But when the fire gets burning like that, when the Holy Ghost gets to moving like that, and people start jumping off the bus, and people start banging on your door saying, "The fire of God is here," well, then that gets your attention. Amen, Tom? Praise God. You start hearing something about a fire. I felt something. Didn't know what it was. Now somebody's telling me the fire is here, and now I see a glow. I think the fire of God is here. John 6:63 says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, Jesus said, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. See, Judas was not aware because he was focused on the physical things. Remember, he was the money guy, the treasurer. And he was always focused on the physical things. He was focused on money. And so he missed out on what he should have been aware of, the spiritual things, the spiritual words of Jesus that were life. Let's not get in that same mentality as Judas. That we get so caught up on stuff. So we should experience God not on a physical, sensual level of the senses only. Praise God if you feel a feeling, but there's something even greater than a feeling. Even greater than what we can see in the natural. We should experience God on a spiritual, a faith level, a word level. Based on the Word of God. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Spirit, we depend on God's Word to tell us what is going on, how we look, how we feel, how are we? Is it well with your soul? What are you aware of? You may be more in tune with your physical body and say, it is not well. I thought about recording a song as a joke called It Is Not Well. Songs of Unbelief, a CD with Songs of Unbelief. Jesus loves me, I hope so. Because my body doesn't know. That's not how that song goes, is it? For the Bible tells me so. So how do you know Jesus loves you? Based on how you feel? God's Word is what we go by. So there's a spiritual tie. These are our spiritual senses right here. Just like we have five senses in the natural, I can see. I'm not blind, so I'm aware that this pulpit's here. I'm aware that that speaker's there. I'm aware that there's steps because I can see. I can feel. I'm aware that's there. In the same way, if you don't know the Word, you have no spiritual sense. You're groping in the dark. You've got to get the Word of God on the inside of you spiritually. Because it's your life. The Bible says God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. What does a light do? It makes us aware of what's there. And so this is our spiritual awareness, the Word of God. And some people only know how to relate to people in the flesh. But you need to learn how to relate to people in the Spirit and to be more spiritually aware. It pays to be spiritually aware. And I'm very thankful. God blessed me at 6 years of age with an awareness of Jesus that I can't explain just by revelation of God. I remember the moment it happened. I was laying in bed in this motorhome. We were evangelists traveling around teaching. I was in the top over the cab of this motorhome, looking out the window, and I just can't explain it except a revelation of who Jesus is, what He did for me, and a thankfulness in my heart just welled up in me to the point I started crying. And the next day I told my brothers and sisters at breakfast, and they laughed at me. You were crying? Oh, that's so dumb. You were crying. It was my first persecution for Jesus. You know, I didn't care what they think because I was so spiritually aware that I just knew Jesus loved me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You know? Yeah. I just knew it. And you just know that you know when you become aware of what Jesus has done for you. And of course, I had heard the Word of God preached. And I wasn't perfect. By any means, I was still a six-year-old boy, and but that spiritual awareness kept me out of a ton of trouble, a ton of issues. I probably never had to go through because I was just more spiritually aware, maybe than most six-year-olds or most teenagers. Now, as I became a teenager, I got older, I started becoming more aware of the flesh than of the spirit. Things in my body were screaming, crying out. My voice started changing. My face started breaking out with zits and things. And all of a sudden, I started to be aware there are girls in this planet besides my mom. And my physical body was becoming more aware. I'll never forget the first time I experienced this. I was down at this marina. We used to live in Granbury, Texas, and Pecan Plantation there. There's one road in there that has lakefront property, and we lived on that road. And so I was down at the marina one day fishing, which is what I enjoyed doing. I always liked to fish as a kid. So I was down there fishing. I went up to the marina to get a Coke or something, and there was this poster of these girls. And I remember seeing that, and all of a sudden, I became aware. My flesh became aware. And so I went home, and I remember my brothers were several years older than me. Had two older brothers, come from a big family, five sisters, three brothers, two of them older. Well, my two brothers, they had been aware of their flesh for a long time. And they were talking about girls. And so me, in the flesh, wanting to relate to the flesh, I just walked up and said, I saw some pretty girls today. And they said, what do you know about pretty girls? You don't know nothing about pretty girls. I said, well, I saw some. They said, where? I said, at the marina, on the wall. They took off running. So when they came back, they said, oh, Dan, you were right, man. You were right. Whoa, those are pretty girls. And I'm telling you, I just felt like, I know what pretty is. But I became more fleshly aware and less spiritual aware, and it started to frustrate me. And it was so frustrating because I had this relationship with God. I was so focused on things of the Spirit, I didn't even know the world existed, you know? And then when the flesh starts to get involved and your flesh starts to rise and your spirit starts to go descend, you start to realize, wait a second, I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out on that time with God like I used to have. And so at that point, I was saying, God, just take me home. It's kind of funny for a little kid, about 9 years old, 10 years old. I'm thinking, God, I don't want to be in this body anymore. I'm ready to just go be with you. I want to be in heaven. We used to sing this song, I've never been this homesick before. This world is just a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. And I almost wanted to have what they call spiritual suicide, you know, Christian suicide. We just, hey, deliver me from this body. Even in Job, I think it's chapter 10, 11, says, you have fenced me in with bones. I want to be free from this body. You even think about it, you got a rib cage. It's a cage that you're living in that you want to be set free and delivered. And so it was real frustrating me having to even be in the flesh. But you know, then I realized, and God revealed to me even further through the Word of God and through teaching, that you are in the flesh for a reason. There's a purpose. And you cannot influence and affect this world without a flesh. And so if I was just a spirit, I would be in heaven, but I wouldn't do anybody else any good. I couldn't make a difference in eternity for anyone else. And so then I started to realize, okay, well, I'm stuck in this flesh. It's limited. I've got to be in it to do anything for God here. But I need to crucify the flesh. And I'm going to get my focus off the flesh and back onto the Spirit of God. And that's a choice that you can make. That's your will. That's where your will comes in. You know, you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You live in a body. And you have a mind, a will, and emotions, which is your soul. So you make the choice. What are you going to side with, your spirit or your flesh? So I used my will to side with the spirit, and things started getting better again. Things started going well again. I started becoming mindful of the things of God. And I realized that the only way I can win souls, since Jesus is no longer on this earth in the flesh, except through me, that if any works of Jesus are going to be done, they're going to have to be done through me. Think about it. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. How many of y'all know that? The Bible says when he resurrected from the dead, he is now seated in heaven in his physical body. And so Jesus is not on this earth in his physical body except through us. So if Jesus is going to manifest in this earth, how is he going to do it? It has to be through your flesh. It has to be through you, through your body. But you have to be spiritually aware of that and say, okay, so God has a job that he wants done and he wants to use me to do it. How does it get done? Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those people. Your feet have to get involved. I was thinking about the Christmas program, the kids' Christmas program we had the other night. I loved that. It was the best Christmas program I think we've ever had. One of the featured songs they sung was, "You Can't Stop These Shoes." They say, you can't stop these shoes from going, from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't stop these shoes. And I'm telling you, you can't stop this body from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't stop these feet from going and doing what God said to do. Praise God, because as long as I have breath in these lungs, I'm going to be using this body to glorify God and to preach the gospel. I'm going to use these feet, what God has given me, to manifest Jesus to the world. And that's all of our responsibility. To manifest Jesus. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So few people put their spirit ahead of their flesh. You know, Bible says, few there be that find it, the way to heaven, because few people will put their spirit before their flesh. Think about it. The devil always wants to make you aware of your flesh. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Whenever they sinned in the garden, all of a sudden they became flesh conscious. They became aware of their flesh. And the devil still to this day is constantly bringing flesh to you to make you aware of that. Stuff, cares, this world, this life, this world system to you to get you caught up in that so you're so aware of the flesh that you're not even mindful of the things of the Spirit. And then you can't do any good. And most people live completely by the flesh. If their flesh feels good, then they feel good. If their flesh doesn't feel good, then get out of their way. Because their flesh is about to hit you. But your spirit always feels good. Your spirit is the only perfect part of you. It's always healed. Your spirit is always secure. There's no insecurity in the spirit, just in the flesh. If you're insecure about your feelings, it's because you're in the flesh. If you're not confident in who you are in Christ, it's because you're focused on the flesh. Hey, if I was focused on the flesh, I'd be not confident either. There'd be no confidence in me. Because I know in my flesh is no good thing. Your spirit never doubts. But your spirit is always on. And so part of keeping that switch of faith turned on is keeping aware of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in your spirit that are one always wants to do good. Always. Your flesh always wants to do bad. Again, that's where your will comes into play. What are you going to do? What are you aware of? Are you aware of God's Word? His word is the only thing really that's guaranteed in life. Nothing else is. The Bible says His word is forever settled in heaven. So it's set. Man, you need to get into it. It's not a gamble. Some people say, well, I'm just stepping out on a word from God, but I don't know. Well, step in faith in believing. Because if it's a word from God, you need to focus on the word and not what's happening on the outside. Because again, the outside's always going to be contrary to what this says. There are times when somebody gave me a sure word, I knew this is a word from God. And they spoke it to me. And then as I started walking through my day, things of my day were not going like the word that someone gave me that was from God. And so I find myself saying, well, I just don't know, or it doesn't look like. And my wife usually will be the one to say, no, it's gonna, and then she'll say the word of God that we received. And it helps reset my thermostat. I say, oh, you're right. You're right. It's gonna be better than we think. Amen. I'm not going by what I think. I'm not going by what I see or feel. I'm going by the word that I've received from God. Because I'm going to be more aware of the spirit than I am of the flesh. There are times that she's down, I help her the same way. And if we're both down, praise God, then that's when we need you. I need Pastor Bob. I'll call Pastor Bob sometime. The worst is when Pastor Bob calls and we're both down. Ashley and I are both down. And he'll just pray for me. Praise God. I appreciate that. There have been several times like that. I just said, Pastor Bob, even Ashley's down. We both need some help. We need to hear the Word of God. He'll just get me right back on things of the Spirit. The Word of God does that. Praise God. So, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And as the body is dead, in James 2:26 says, as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without works is dead also. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So you're saved by grace through faith, and God has given you to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12:3 says. Every man has been given the measure of faith to be born again and to believe God's word. Somebody said, well, God creates some people to go to hell. No, because God gives every man the measure of faith, and they make the choice whether or not to act on that. Amen. Go ahead, give God praise for that. So, faith without works is dead, just like this body without the Spirit is dead. Now, this coat has been moving around and moving its arms all over this stage tonight. And it's been amazing how awesome this coat is that it could do all of that. But if I take off this coat, now, what happens to the coat? There is no life in the coat. That coat is nothing. That coat is temporary. If something happens to that coat, I'm get another coat. I got a new coat. Praise God, a coat of many colors. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there's no life in the body without the Spirit. Okay? Now, faith, let's say this is faith. It was moving around doing all kinds of things, but faith without works, just like the body without the spirit, faith without works is dead. Okay? So we got to have works with our faith. And our faith is made alive by the works. And the finished work of Jesus, His works bring our faith to life. And there are spiritual things that are eternal, and there are physical things that are temporal. Faith, you have a faith to be born again. You have a body, a flesh. You have feelings. You have, this coat would represent maybe anger and hatred, bitterness, things of sin, of death. And your spirit represents life. Your spirit is life. His word, the word of God, is eternal. Grace is eternal. By grace you are saved through faith. And so there are things that are spiritual and eternal, and there are things that are physical and temporal. The question is, what are you identifying with? Now, I can wear this coat, but I'm not so aware of it that if something happens to it, I'm totally lost and distraught. Isn't the body more than meat? Aren't we more than just a body? If somebody tore it up or whatever, or something happened to it, am I going to get so I can't even function anymore? Some people are that way. Well, you know, I just can't do that because I don't have the talent, the skill, the ability, or whatever. God's not looking for that. He's looking at you on the inside. It's just a coat that God wants to put on. And God in you is greater than anything you'll ever face. Amen. When you get the grace of God, the goodness of God, the life, the spirit, the word, those things that are eternal, the real you, your life is going to go a lot better when you focus on those things. Now, grace is God's part and faith is our part. We have the grace of God, which is the eternal, but we're in our physical bodies and we've got to get our physical bodies and do the work of the ministry with these bodies. So that's why we have them. Otherwise, again, you would just want to leave your body and go be with Jesus. But it's a building that God's given us. It's like Pastor said many times, God's given us a warehouse to do business for Jesus in. Thank God for this building. We need to take care of it. We need to use this building in the same way. Thank God for this building. Thank God I've got legs to walk. I've got feet to walk with. You can't stop these shoes. And if I wear them out, I'll get some other ones. Praise God. And I'm just going to keep going and preaching the gospel as long as I can. But a spirit requires a body to manifest through. And in the same way as demons have to manifest through people, the Holy Ghost manifests through people. The question is, what spirit are you manifesting? Are you focused on the Holy Ghost and allowing the Spirit of God to manifest through your body? Or are you allowing the devil and the flesh to manifest? Grace requires faith to manifest through. The gospel requires a body to manifest through, to speak through, to be made known. And grace provides it, as Pastor said, but faith obtains it. Your body, you're going to have some physical reaction to a spiritual thing that's happened on the inside of you. There will be a physical manifestation. Because faith without works is dead. And the question is, what are you more aware of? The Holy Spirit, He's moving. The Holy Spirit is in this place. When you walked in, the Holy Spirit was already here, active. And what happens a lot of times when we come in to the sanctuary, to this place, we start singing songs about the Lord. Our focus shifts over onto God. Our focus shifts onto the things of God. And all of a sudden, we become spiritually aware and things just start happening. We feel a love that we didn't feel before. We feel just a presence of God. Oh, I sense the presence. Even since I've been speaking, as I've been preaching, some of you have shifted already and sensed the Spirit of God in a new way. And there have been times I've been so in the flesh in my day and maybe cranky to my wife. I know, Tom, you wouldn't believe that, would you? But I have to admit, she's not here, but I'm sure she's watching online. But in the flesh, I'm cranky, just like your flesh. But then I come into the sanctuary of God. There have been a time recently where I was kind of cranky and sharp with my wife, and I come in here, and we come in here, and we're standing, we're worshiping God, and I put my arm around her and just start loving on her, and she's like, oh, now you love me. Now that we're here, you love me. And it didn't dawn on me. It didn't even dawn on me that I had been cranky before. Maybe rude or short with her. And now I love her. And I said, you know what? I think I just got a revelation. That when you walk in the presence of God, it's like hitting that reset button. You know? You need that. That's why we need to come together and to get in the presence of God like this, not only individually, but corporately also, because it's like hitting that reset button. I'm telling you, I love my wife the rest of the day, like I should. I wasn't cranky anymore. Praise God. Amen. That'll help you in life. Yes, sir. And I tell you, if your spouse is getting cranky, tell them you need to go to church. Come on, let's go. We need to go hit the reset button. Come on, I'm going. I'm going to go get in things of the Spirit. Now, you got to be careful not to get judgmental, because I've had that happen too. You know, times, well, I'm going to go get in the Spirit while you guys stay in the flesh. Again, Jesus never condemned the world. He didn't come to condemn it, but He came to bring life. You just manifest the Spirit, and everybody that's in the flesh will want what you got. They're going to say, there's something about that guy. He's not like everybody else. There's something about you. I can't explain it, but I want what you've got. I'm aware of the Spirit, of what God is doing. And He's looking for somebody to manifest through. Somebody to manifest through tonight. He's looking for somebody to manifest the Spirit of God in your home, where you go to work, where you go to school, where you live. And praise God, I've heard it said that He doesn't flow through perfect vessels, but He flows through yielded vessels. Vessels that are open. Tom, would you mind coming up and just playing a little bit? Tom, yeah. Yeah, not that I don't love you, Johnny. If you want to get on the organ, that's fine. If you want to get on the organ, that's cool too, Johnny. I want to play that song, Step Over. Step Over. If you wouldn't mind coming up and playing that song. Step Over. Uh-huh. All right. But just to be aware of the Spirit, sometimes you just got to step over into the things of the Spirit. Just sing this song real quick.
Step over. Leave this world behind. Receive with your heart. Be renewed in your mind. The Spirit of God has come. Step over. Stay a little while. The Spirit of joy will make you smile. The Spirit of God has come.
Sing with me.
We sing glory to the Father, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Son. The Spirit of God has come. Spirit of God has come. Step over and cross the line. Bathe in this river and be filled with new wine. The Spirit of God has come. Step over, do it while you can, and don't try to reason or understand. The Spirit of God has come.
Sing it, Dan.
Sing glory.
Now we sing glory to the Father. Glory.
You know that part that says, don't try to reason or understand. Reason is the flesh. Your flesh has to have a reason. Your heart doesn't. Your flesh tries to figure it out. The Bible says that the carnal mind is the enemy of God, because it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, in Romans chapter 8. It can't be. So you got to get out of your carnal mind. Don't try to understand it. But that's what faith is. It's stepping out on a more sure word from God that says, I am healed. I know I am healed. But I can see you still have the physical manifestation of that sickness in your body. But I know I am healed. I know God revealed it to me. He spoke it to me by His Word. And I am healed. I identify with that. In the natural, you might be a very depressing person. But when you shift over into the Spirit and get out of your understanding, you're fun to be with. You are a joy to be with. And the joy of the Lord can manifest in you. The question is, are you aware that the Holy Ghost wants to manifest through you? Are you aware of the revival that is taking place right now? Are you aware that the bus is on fire? Sometimes I just like to close my eyes because it shuts out any distractions. I just want to be so spiritually aware. I just get lost in His presence. Tell you what, you want some pain relief? Who here is in pain right now? You say, hey, I'm in pain. I need some pain relief. I want you to just stand up where you are. Got some pain relief for you tonight. Come on forward. Come stand right up here. We're going to get some pain relief. The cool thing about God's anesthesia is that He works on you while you're under it. And so that it's not like when you go back, you have that pain anymore. But God fixed what was causing the pain. There's somebody here, you're in pain emotionally. I want you to come on up here. You're in emotional pain. You know what I'm talking about. You knew the second I said that. If that's you, come on up and stand right up here. Emotional pain. It may be somebody that's already up here. God has a cure. You just got to step over. You ready to step over tonight? Amen. Now don't try to reason it away. Too many times we reason things away. Oh no, He's not talking about me. Well, that's not your spirit talking. That's your flesh talking. Remember, the flesh is the enemy of God. Your flesh doesn't want you to come up because you'll be set free. But don't try to reason, just make your flesh. I'm telling you, if you have to grab your legs and move them like this, you're going, flesh, then do it. If you can only control one part of your flesh, slap yourself around with that part until the other part will submit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I lay hands on you, I believe, according to the Word of God, the Bible says, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Didn't say they might recover, not maybe, not I hope so, but shall be. I believe that. And I believe whatever your problem is, that you're going to recover. Full recovery, not partial recovery. You're gonna overtake, young lady, and you're gonna recover all. You're in a time of recovery. And it's not anything you have to do. That's the cool thing. You already been through the 12 step. It took you more than 12 steps to get here. You've been through the 12 step process of recovery for your life. Now let God do the rest. He's going to do it. Just lift your hands. As soon as I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, just receive that. Thank you, Lord. Complete, total recovery. Complete, total healing. Thank you, Jesus.